In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions.
Welcome back to part two of our two-part interview with Michelle Florendo, the decision engineer and coach. We're going to dive back in to hear more about Michelle's personal story after the passing of her mother-in-law and where she used some of the modalities that she's learned over the years to help her family navigate through such a huge life-changing event for everyone. And last but not least, we'll make sure that we give you some additional tools and resources that you can use to help you in navigating through the decision-making process that you may be faced with. We hope you enjoy.
How do you help people get that refocus? We're both coaches. And so as coaches, we get a lot of those people that are hovering in that concern. My parents get in that range as well. And so how do you help people get refocused to just on the things that they can control?
I mean, I think part of it is just naming what's in the circle of concern.
Okay.
Right? Because I think sometimes, I'm so glad that you brought in that framework, right? Because sometimes it's so easy to just be consumed by the things that we care about. Things that are in the circle of concern are also things that we care about. But once we can name that, yes, I care about this thing, and it's outside of my circle of control and influence, or I mean, like, maybe I don't have the energy to expand my circle of influence to include that thing. I think there's something that's freeing about that, right? Because once we have clarity around what are those things that we can't control, I mean, as hard as it was, it almost was more of, I'm not even going to say comfort, but there was like something in the fact that like we knew this was a terminal diagnosis. And so we're just like, okay, like we cannot control the fact that our time with her is limited.
Right.
And so we don't have to worry about trying to change that. And what does that mean for, okay, like once we can identify that's in our circle of concern. And so, okay, like the only action I have with that is how do I relate to that in a way that I can be at peace? What are all the things that I can do to show up for her in the way that I want while she's still here? Like, how do I support and show up for like my husband and her husband? And
Well, I think when you think about the circle of concern, it's all stuff that makes you feel powerless. But then when you can focus on the things that you do have that control over, it feels like you have some power back.
Right.
Which I think can help you get through those significant things that we go through in our lives.
Absolutely.
So now you had said a little bit that now that you've gone through this, you're wanting to maybe help other people go through this as well, or come up with some sort of a program or something. So can you talk a little bit about that?
This is the first time that I'm like sharing this story publicly, right? And I think, like, this came about because, Pam, I think your brother had taken my class.
Yes.
And mentioned that even though it was a business decision-making class, some of the things he was learning was helping him deal with, like, a personal situation and, like, loss of a loved one. And I realized, like, oh, maybe there's something here. And I think, I mean, I'll name that. Like, I have no idea what form this is going to take. I think me just talking to you, and I'm so glad that you two are providing this space for me to, again, like metabolize this, because I don't know if this is going to turn into just a long blog post or a chapter in my book. I don't know, but there is something here.
Which is okay, because that's the outcome part. So that's fine. We don't focus on
I think, like, I guess when I think about my objective, I realize even as other family members or friends have heard me like recount what had happened, they're just like, wait, can you tell me more about how can I like move through an incredibly like difficult situation with loved ones with intention and care?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know what shape or form this is going to take, but I do see that it dovetails with my work because I'm all about providing structure, but in a way that recognizes the humanity in decision making.
Well, it's something that we will all face at some point in our life, the loss of somebody that is significant in our world. And so having the hope that you can have a structure to move through it, not with no pain, but at least have that structure where you feel like you have a little bit of control. Mm-hmm. And yeah, to prepare you for it is incredible.
Well, and Michelle, I think what you've done is really given an actual framework, as you say, to mm-hmm. communication, right? We talk about how important it is for us to have great communication in all of our relationships. And so when you're able to create this framework, not only are you setting the stage for this open line of communication, but there's also, I'm assuming that all four of you, as you went into the retreat weekend in Sonoma, that it's understanding that there is a significant level of vulnerability that's going to take place, because you have to be so comfortable and familiar with what you want, how you want to feel, what it looks like, right? Like going through all of those senses and then sharing it with the people that are closest to you, which we don't typically put ourselves in those situations. Yeah. Yeah. This is communication to the second degree. Like this is right. communication squared. So that yeah. was,
but yeah. I mean, like you mentioned something really important though, too, that I'm only just connecting the dots on now, that often we don't necessarily like know, like if I were to ask you, what do you want?
Yeah.
It's usually not that easy to just answer that question no. point blank. And so
the question was actually debilitating to me a couple of years ago. So had you asked me, like, I would just go into the fetal position. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
But I mean, that's the thing. Cause, and again, maybe, you know, like part of this conversation is me just like connecting the dots back to, okay, what are the things in my body of work that helped enable this and that could help others have similar types of conversations? Because I've recognized that too in decision making. Like, if I can talk about objectives, it's one of those components. Yeah. But you know, people are like, but I don't know what I want, or like, how do I get to the point of knowing? And I think that's where, like, I have a framework called the attractive concerning table that actually helps with that. It's mm-hmm. like, how do we mine even just like our current feelings about different possible options mm-hmm. in ways that will point to, oh, hey, these are some of the things that I'm noticing yeah. I might care about. And then through that like articulation and externalization process, yeah. can start to say, well, these are the things that are coming up. Is this, like, are these the things mm-hmm. that I want to use to drive my decision-making?
That's huge. These are all tools that we can put in our tool belt. I mean, obviously we mm-hmm. are not able to just do them independently, but mm-hmm. knowing, having an understanding of them and knowing that there are processes that we can follow in this. I can joke about it now, but you know, a few years ago, had you asked me, what do you want? I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah. But I think I would have been writing things down can be so useful, right?
Yes.
Like even just the process of externalizing our thoughts and feelings so that we can just like have something on paper to react to and then like double check with even like our gut feeling and being willing to go through that iterative process can be so useful. But also, like, to the communication point, it's like, how do we set a container where it's safe to be in the messiness of figuring that out?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
How hard was it when you asked that question, how do you want to feel moving through each of those sections? How hard was that for each of you to be able to name how you wanted to feel?
You know, I think we were, like, when I think about myself, my husband, and my father-in-law, when I think about the feelings that came up, I don't know if they were necessarily that hard because we were so focused on Joyce, mm-hmm. my mother-in-law. Like, the yeah. things that came up were, like, I want to feel present. I want to feel helpful. I want to feel yes. supportive. It was very, like, centered around her. And so I think that was, it may have been easier to express because we were already in that mindset. But I think what was really interesting was witnessing the impact of us saying those things on the others in the group. Yeah. Like, I think it was powerful to see how similar some mm-hmm. of our frames were, and like really that we were on the same page in how we wanted to show up yeah. for her. And I think it was also touching for her to see, like, and also just hear, right? Like,
yeah, to hear it.
How did we want to experience each of those stages.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And so 1 year later, do you all connect? I mean, yesterday was a year. So is it more of a check-in of, you know, were we able to truly honor all of those pieces that we mentioned previously?
You know, I don't know if I've done an explicit check-in to talk, like even just talk about it. It's funny because I actually have all of those. I know where all of those notes are. They're in like my office closet. I still have them. And again, I kept them because people kept telling me, like, at some point in time, you need to write down what you did so that people can replicate it. Sometimes I feel like we're still just taking, because, you know, there were four stages that we were going through, like the initial receiving of the news, the time that she was really like impacted physically, the end, and then the aftermath.
Yeah.
And we're still going through that fourth stage. And I think we're still just like, we as a family have a meal with my father-in-law once a week. I know my husband goes and meets up with him separately once a week. Again, he still lives 10 minutes away. And I think that's something that's surprising, I guess, like, because I hadn't gone through a death of a loved one so close. Neither has my husband. I don't think I anticipated that, like, all of those feelings would. I didn't anticipate that the fourth stage would extend for so long. I just kind of like knew it was like, okay, there's going to be an aftermath, but I think also maybe it doesn't have an endpoint.
Yeah, it may not. Yeah, wow. It just becomes the new normal. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. How are your husband and your father-in-law coping through all of this? I imagine this is...
I mean, I think it's still really raw.
Yeah.
Like we commemorated the one-year anniversary of her passing on the same day that we brought together, my father-in-law's broader family, for a Chinese New Year celebration. And like leading up to that, we had to like order the headstone, or like they had to. And it was one of those things where my husband had been just putting it off because there's something about getting a headstone that like really... sets things in stone and makes it like really real. Yeah. So I think it's still tender. But I think part of moving through this phase is understanding that there's always going to be a level of tenderness and rawness, I think.
It'll get easier over time, but there's always going to be that void there.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. That is, I know, as you mentioned, like you're still in it, right? This is when we talk about some of the challenges that we overcome or what life sends our way. And oftentimes it's multiple things at the same time, right? We have a variety of things that we're facing. And again, tying into the resiliency piece, because you as a family, like the family unit, you had a choice, right? You could have lived in that space of concern and, you know, that's the anger, the frustration, the why, the, you know, all of the things that we dive into. And instead it's a, you know what, let's just sit down and really just walk through this together. And I think those close to you that have said that you're onto something, I think they're absolutely right. You were totally onto something that I think would be truly beneficial to all of us.
Absolutely. Okay, so tell us what's next for you. What's next for you in your journey? So you're coaching, you're teaching, any other, are you, so you mentioned a book. So are you working on a book?
I am now. Let me say it definitively. It's one of those things, again, I feel like all of this work around decision-making has really evolved because of people's response to it. Again, this wasn't something that I necessarily like said, oh yeah, I'm going to do this thing. Mm-hmm. But yes, I am finally working on finishing the book proposal that I half did 5 years ago when I was pregnant with my daughter.
Oh my gosh.
It's funny because like the podcast that I have was born out of that same time. And it was really my friend who was just like, okay, I get it. A lot of people are telling you should write a book. Also, I know you. You're an engineer. You're like writing. What are you doing? Like signing up for the hardest project for someone who doesn't like writing and you're about to have your second kid. You're not going to be like, what are you thinking?
Yes.
Just do a podcast.
Yes.
But yeah, that is something that's in the works and it's been really exciting to just like see it gain steam just from some of the folks who have read some of the drafts or know that I've been working on this. Like at the very least, again, I think it'll be a good vehicle for being able to share some of these principles with people. Because at the end of the day, I see so many people who approach decision-making with such anxiety,
yeah.
right? And it's the anxiety is around the parts that we can't control, right? Mm-hmm. And like my hope is to provide people with the tools such that they can feel equipped to focus on the parts that they can. And like, again, put them back in contact with that resilience of being able to identify like, okay, even in the midst of these things that I can't control, what can I? What is the decision opportunity here? What is the action I can take? How can I move through that in an intentional way? Because again, I think so many people focus on like trying to make the right decision.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And like at the end of the day, I fully believe that being a good decision maker is less about being right and more about being resilient.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Because it's through that resilience and that willingness to make a new decision, a willingness to identify where you can take action, that you get to continue to hone that skill.
Yeah.
The decision making, it is a skill, and it's only born out of being willing to do it again and again and again and again.
Yeah. And I think like you said earlier, I think people get so stuck in, oh my gosh, I don't want to make the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. That fear keeps them from making any decision. And so mm-hmm. then they just stay where it's safe. And right. so they don't keep moving. Whereas mm-hmm. like you said, it's not about the outcome of it. It's about the decision. And so, and even if something didn't go the way you had hoped it would go, right. a lot of
it's
times
like, what can I do now?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. What can you do now?
Exactly.
And it's all, and like you said, it's all about the resilience, because a lot of those things where it doesn't turn out the way we thought it would end up opening something completely different and new and mm-hmm. more exciting.
So if we're willing to approach
if
it
we're willing
in that
to approach
way.
It that way. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I will definitely read the book. So I think what a beautiful story. And, you know, yes. having just gone through something like this, having that tie in there somehow, I mean, to help people, I think is it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
It's going to impact a lot of people.
So. I'd love to see it in the hands of the younger generation as well. And,
yes.
and when I say younger generation, those that are in school, like not secondary education, I'm talking like grade school before they graduate, because I've got friends, Pam has a son that's graduating this year. I have friends that are graduating this year. And it's such the pressure that's placed on kids as in their senior year, right? This
yeah.
decision that they're making, it's so huge. And the yeah. narrative that's given to them is this is going to impact the rest of your life. And you tell that to an 18-year-old and they're like, oh, okay.
Can you please then tell me how should I make this decision?
Yes. So being able to, and again, I think just getting it into more hands, right? Mm-hmm. So just being able to get it into the hands of younger people and educators so that they can really refocus this attention away from, again, the outcome. Like this mm-hmm. one decision that you make in May is going to determine the next 45 to 50 or 70 years of your life. Good luck. Let us know what you decide.
Yeah. We're rooting for you.
That said, I do want to give a shout out to organizations out there who are working with youth
Beautiful.
Or who are
Please
actually
do.
Trying to deliver this education to
yes.
younger folks. And so
yes.
there's the Decision Education Foundation, and they actually have curriculum and tools for students who are going through like that decision, college decisions okay. right now on their website. And then there's also the Alliance for Decision Education. And their mission is really like, how do we make this a core part of K-12 education? Because
yes.
it's so useful and so needed.
Oh my
absolutely.
Gosh, absolutely. And if we could give them the yeah. tools at a young age, that's just going to set them up for when they are an adult. But I mm-hmm. just love you giving us that structure of every decision. I mean, just that alone, if you could yeah. educate
right.
kids to that structure for
yes.
every decision they make.
And again, shout out to my professor, Ron Howard,
yeah.
who
Ron Howard.
Taught that in Intro to Decision Analysis. Every decision has three components.
I love
Even
that.
Just knowing that helps you understand
yeah.
like, oh, here's where I'm getting stuck.
Yeah.
Here's
yeah.
where I can get more clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. I'm definitely going to use it.
I love this.
Sure.
That's
awesome.
Fabulous. Well, thank you, Ron, for that work. I'm glad that he planted that seed as well.
Thanks for shouting out. And I'm excited about, we'll put these organizations in
yes.
our show notes so that people
yes.
can reach out to them. And I know we have all of your information that we'll put in the show notes as well. So people can follow you, listen to your podcast. I've listened to some of your episodes, your podcast, so I'm a big fan. So I'm going to keep listening to those. So
absolutely. And we'll tag Michelle, all of her contact information, direct link to her podcast so you guys can check her out and everything that she's doing. Michelle, thank you. And thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your story and being so transparent with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I know that
thank
was
you
a
for holding
raw
space
story. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Any final parting thoughts that you would like the listeners to hear?
I mean, again, I love this tie-in to resilience because like resilience at the end of the day is remembering that you always have a choice.
Yeah.
Like there's always something that you can do. And if we can focus on that instead of the things that we can't control, it leads us to feel more empowered at the end of the day.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful place to stop. Thank you. I love that.
Me too. Thank you.
Having a choice has popped up for me a couple of times this week, maybe this month. I don't know. I don't even know how far we are in the month. Anyways, it's popped up a couple of times for me. But it is. It's remembering that you always have a choice if you're looking forward. And if you're connecting the dots and looking behind you, you chose, right? You had a choice and you made a choice in those decisions that you made as well. So I think just being present in those moments and realizing that you constantly have the choice. It's always yours.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll share the link with you when this comes out so you can share it with whoever. And it was an honor. And when you are ready to launch your book, we'd love to have you back on so that we can promote it because I will definitely be reading it.
Yes, absolutely. And we should bring your girlfriend on as well that doubted you because then she can speak to it from a different perspective.
Exactly.
Well, thank you again, just like for this space. I think, again, talking about it just like helps me kind of like metabolize.
Yeah.
Like what our family has gone through.
And I'm sure that there's going to be somebody that is listening that is going through this right now or has gone through this right now that can resonate with what you've gone through. So I know it's going to impact some people. So for sure. So thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. It has been an absolute honor. Thank you to all of our listeners for joining us. We hope that you've enjoyed this interview with Michelle Florendo. We absolutely have. Again, no surprise, I've got pages and pages of notes and hopefully some new tools that I'm putting in my tool belt that I will reference to when I find myself in that spot where I'm making decisions, which is daily. So thank you, Michelle, for the tools. If you have enjoyed this episode, feel free to like it, share it with your friends. And if you want more of Reignite Resilience, head on over to ReigniteResilience.com where you can learn more about what's happening on the podcast and in the Reignite Resilience VIP community. Until we see you again, have a good one.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.